my fellow citizens, you may not be interested in politics, but politics will be interested in you. You know, whether you like it or not, your lives will be affected by the decisions of others.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast series renamed A Student's Guide to the Refugee Crisis. This is Sarah Chang here, and I decided to rename this series because I felt it was more conducive to what I really want this message to be about. I am simply just one student giving my opinion and shining a light on what my group and I witnessed out there in Europe. We had no idea that we would meet and be changed by the people we met along our journey. And now that I'm back in the States, I feel like what I got out of it was more than just seeing the plight of humanity for what it is. I feel so inspired and at the same time dumbfounded by the resilience and strength of everyday people who are just like you and me. You know, people who had careers and jobs and everyday schedules, who literally had no choice but to pick up everything that they knew and flee for their survival. And then I think about what that would be like if it were me and why it wasn't. Would I be able to handle leaving everything I know behind for good? My things, my home, my family, my loved ones, my dog? It's kind of hard to imagine. So in this podcast, we want to honor those people by telling their stories. The stories of a few refugees and migrants, regular people, just like you and me. Let's hear how they got to where they are. The first question being, how did you get here and what was that journey like?
I come with a plastic boat and I've been broke in the water behind them, in the middle of water, broke, and then police come take them.
Senegal, after Senegal, Mali, Burkina, after Burkina, Niger, after Niger, Algeria, after Algeria, Libya, after Libya, Italy.
He starts his journey from Egypt to Turkey. He flew. He came by airplane, and from Turkey to Greece, he came by smuggler, but not by the sea. He came by the border, by using like kind of mini buses or buses. Their journey, walking from Turkey to Greece, it took for them around 2 days. By crossing all the border, the mountains, kind of like just big space, like a desert, all over the way until the north of Greece, and they caught them. The police, they put them in prison for 9 hours, and they give them paper that they must be deported immediately to their country. But they came all over the way from the north. After that, and they let them free. They come all over the way from the north of Greece until Athens, and they try to go to apply in the asylum service. And after all, they just gave them paper as asylum seeker for 6 months.
Taking a moment here to mention the brave souls who trek on the Mediterranean to cross into what they think will be their freedom. I think we don't really think about the fact that while it is dangerous to cross into the sea, it is the most direct route into Europe. So most refugees and migrants will take their chances with this route. While we were in Greece on the island of Lesbos on June 11th, we were on our way to dinner when we noticed some life jackets left on the shore that looked like it was recently placed there. That day, the UN put out a report that 7 people, 4 adult women, 1 man, and 2 young girls drowned while at sea. A UNHCR reports that an estimated 15,459 people have risked their lives to reach Europe just in this year alone, and a total 427 that we know of have drowned. In 2018, the Mediterranean has claimed 6 lives every day. And it doesn't stop there. The EU just passed a law this past summer that anyone caught trying to save people while at sea will be fined 10,000 euros each. So as we think about what's happening
in the sea out there, and you know, us being right there in the middle of it, it helps put those statistics that we learn about, just it becomes so real, you know. And this next testimony is from a boy named Khodadad. He escaped his home when he was 15, and he has a story to tell about his experience in Syria. So we asked him some questions while he was telling us his story, and it's going to sound really organic, but I think it's important to listen to what he went through because he was so young. Think about what you were doing when you were 16, 17, 18 years old. And I hope that this helps put this crisis in perspective for you. Let's listen.
There is this way, just this way. You can register your name as a soldier. So you will be free till they call you to go in Syria. Then after 2 months, I think, they called me, yeah, are you ready to go get training and then to go in Syria? I said, no. No. You cannot say no. You have to go. Okay. Just, yeah. For 3 times. The third one, I was in a explosion. Our car, something shooted to on our car. It was full of the different weapons and bombs. So, yeah. Still I'm alive. And we tried to save, to be just, we ran for 15 seconds, then we found the like room that was there at night, and I found myself in hospital. I don't know for how long I was. When I got that problem, then they sent me to Iran. Have PTSD. The first, it's
that's how you got out. Yeah, PTSD.
Yeah. So still, I'm fighting with that.
Wow.
And I'm using medicine now. I stopped the medicine for a few days, but I think just my mind doesn't work, and then I see sometimes. Blur.
Do you think that all the other soldiers that go there at a young age also have PTSD?
Yeah, you know, it's not easy. That was the first time I have seen the body,
dead
body. And when you see a body like without leg or without arm, without head, it's not funny, I think. Also, when you see your friend, you are just friend. And after maybe 1 minute, let me tell you. Once we were going, and it was so simple, we thought, yeah, we are safe right now. And we were walking, then I saw my friend fell down. What happened? You are joking with me? No, really, I saw he was bleeding. And I just went to him, then I saw, yeah, he was shooted by a sniper.
Wow.
You You know, Khodadad's story is similar to millions of people all around the world who have similar heartbreaks and similar deaths by family members and, you know, stories that in most cases will never be heard. And as we think about this cycle of violence, we can attest to our own issues in America with the Trump administration breaking its own laws by rejecting and turning away people who have the right to seek asylum, or, you know, we bring them in and then put them in detention centers, separating mothers from their children as if being for and fleeing violence was a crime. So Khodadad alluded to us that he has his own podcast series. I'm going to post up that link on my Facebook page. It's going to be www.facebook.com/ChangGSarah. In the same post, you'll see how you can listen to his podcast, and also there's a link for GoFundMe that 100% of the proceeds will go directly to Khodadad so that he can get out of this horrible camp called Moria and be independent for himself. He's only like 20, and he has a whole future in front of him. He has a desire to study, to live on his own, to be able to afford the commute to and from the city to look for work. And so I think that if you were to give like even 50 cents or a dollar, I think it would go a long way. And in that sense, we can do our part to kind of be in camaraderie to the fact that this is something that we can't ignore anymore. This is a global phenomenon that we in privileged societies need to wake up to. We can't be asleep on this issue anymore. And like in the beginning of this podcast, even if you're not interested in politics, politics will be interested in you. And people's decision will affect you in a major way, and which is already happening with all of our immigration issues. So in this next story, we're going to hear from another translator that we met in Athens who helped us get stories from Arabic speakers because he spoke Arabic. But he also had his own story to tell of how he escaped violence from his country in Sudan. So let's just hear what he has to say. Just in case you're not well-versed in the issues in Sudan, there was an economic sanctions policy that was passed in 1997 by the U.S. that blocked any and all international trade with Sudan, which, of course, we don't realize because we don't live there, that this affected the lives of its citizens more than anyone else. So you have this 30-year civil war started in 1989, led by this dictator, which means that they didn't really have a choice in the matter, right? And so, you know, there are more recently just human rights violations that, of course, have occurred over the three-decade lifespan of this issue, but also, you know, soldiers going out in broad daylight and attacking peaceful protesters, human rights activists, and students, and just killing them, shooting them in broad daylight. And this is happening right now. And if you want to go on Twitter and Instagram and look up the hashtag #IStandWithSudan, you'll be able to see more posts and visual imagery of this movement that's happening all around the world. So maybe you can be a supporter. and I will have this article posted about just a summary of the Sudanese conflict from hrw.org. That's humanrightswatch.org, and it will be posted on my Facebook, so facebook.com/changesarah. Before we end this podcast today, I wanted to share this recording, just a question that I asked an international aid worker that we ran into at a center that is close to the refugee camp Moria, where we met Khodadad from earlier today in this podcast. And he was an American who was there volunteering his time. And at the time that we met him, they were setting up a playground for kids, you know, because it's a center for women to come to a safe place, and they can have free English classes there, and, you know, in general, just hanging out and learn Greek and things like that of that nature. We asked him what his opinion is of how the world sees the refugee crisis and what we can do about it. And what he had to say was really interesting and super relevant. So I want to share this with you now. Let's listen. How do you think that the world sees this refugee crisis? Because as in our experience for the past 3 weeks, it seems like people have forgotten about this issue, or it's not like as trendy a topic as it used to be. So what is your opinion?
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree that the media consumer interest in the refugee crisis has waned since, say, 2016, when this seemed to be, people largely agreed that this was the biggest crisis facing our generation, maybe next to climate change. And I think that it's anytime the viewer gets really, really saturated, they just lose interest. That's just the nature of the 21st century, right? Like, we just get bored of things and we throw them away, right? Like, there's trash everywhere on the island, and people throw away the story too. That they just don't care. But it's very, very real for the people who are still here, because even though people have been utterly squeezed out of Syria and there's not all that many Syrian refugees coming anymore, drought conditions and year after year Taliban offensives have brought, you know, tens of thousands of Afghani refugees here, fleeing terrible conditions. So we actually need to find a way to reuptake this crisis into the media viewer mindset, or we're not going to be able to solve it. We need fresh ideas. We need new ways to address this problem. And that's the reason for the Global Leaders Program, because I don't think it really starts on the news anymore. People are exhausted by it. They switch it off. Or even worse, we're seeing rises in nationalism, right? We're electing nationalist leaders. We're implementing nationalist policies. There's always a counter story, right? And so I don't think we can solve that on the news anymore. We need to solve that, like, around the dinner table. We need to have like grassroots level discussions. So how do you do that? Build young leaders who are thinking and talking about it, you know?
Yeah, what a powerful response. You know what he said about having grassroots level discussion at the dinner table, I think, is the most vitally important thing that we can do as citizens. And you might not think that it's important enough to talk about with your peers and colleagues because nothing will come out of it. I think that the exchange of ideas and being open to discuss, you know, what the real issues are around the world is so powerful, especially in a global community where you just never know who you're going to run into. You know, you are who you network with, right? And in that same sense, I think that if we stay connected, you know, we can really think of change together and not fall into the curse of apathy. So in this next podcast, we're going to talk all about climate change refugees. I had the opportunity to interview a student from Arizona State University that was on the same island as our school group. So it was really interesting to hear her stance, because she was an environmental science major, and she has a lot to say. So we will also hear from other students that I went on this program with and their experiences, as well as testimonies from you know, the final message, the final thought from refugees and migrants, a lot of the same ones that we heard from in this podcast, what their message is to the world. So you can get the information on the Global Leaders Program, the one that Sydney was talking about. Sydney is the very this very last person that we just heard from. It's their website is globalleadersprogram.com. They also have a Facebook, which I will link on my Twitter and Facebook, so you can get it there. So, you know, lots of information for you to look up and research after this podcast, but it's all good things, I think. Our research that we do when we're alone, I think, is, you know, the most powerful tool that we can have on our belt when talking about, like, what as an individual we can do. So I hope that you got something out of this podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. And I hope to hear from you next time. If you ever want to reach out to me and talk about anything that we spoke of, even if you don't agree, please reach out to me at my Twitter, Changi Sarah. My Instagram is _Changthang. And let's just talk. You know, let's talk. I think that's the most powerful thing we can do. So I'll see you guys next time. Ciao for now.